It can explain why it's hard to go from high school to college, or college to the workforce, from a job to entrepreneurship, or from startup founder to CEO of a large corporation. Every time we step into a bigger role, a wider world, a new level, what we used to know works, but not exactly like it used to, and not all the time. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, where we talk about applying high leverage psychology in your business and life. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, licensed psychologist, private practice owner, speaker, executive coach, and consultant. I became a psychologist to learn how to leverage psychology and help others do the same. For over a decade, I've been tracking how psychology gets in the way of smart and results-driven people. For years, I've developed frameworks and tools to help them leverage psychology instead to launch themselves forward. It's my mission to share my hard-earned lessons with you so you can launch yourself forward too. I can't wait to talk high leverage psychology with you so you can learn to take higher leverage action today. Let's talk high leverage psychology. Today, I'm unpacking beliefs and how they affect performance, plus how to recognize and change the ones that may be holding you back so you can optimize for success. I've been thinking a lot about beliefs and how they affect success, partly because it comes up with my clients just about every day, and because I'm seeing it in my own performance. Of course, it comes up in parenting too, watching my daughter try things, respond, and learn in real time. But before I get too ahead of myself, let's unpack beliefs and define them. What is a belief? It's an assumption or an expectation, what our brains think will happen. It's almost like a math equation, input on one side, output on the other. And just like math equations, they can be incredibly simple, even general. Like adding two numbers together makes a bigger number, most of the time. I won't nerd out on what happens when you add negative numbers. Not yet, anyway. But also, like math equations, beliefs can be incredibly complex and even really specific. Beliefs can have a very particular and narrow application, like the Pythagorean theorem or E equals MC squared. But enough with the trip down high school and college math. In short, beliefs are how your brain makes sense of the world. It's also how your brain asks and answers the question, if I do this, what'll happen? In a way, a belief is kind of like a relationship between two things, action and result. And that's where beliefs sit and guide us. The key to understanding how they affect performance at the lowest and highest levels is in how the brain works. When we believe something will get the result we're looking for, we are way more likely to do it. And that's irrespective of whether or not that's actually going to produce the outcome. In other words, sometimes we might believe something and doing it will get us what we're looking for. And other times we might believe it, but it won't. And still, our belief is really what drives our motivation, our decisions, and our actions. But when we believe a strategy or action won't have the desired effect, we'll feel unmotivated or put off. We're a lot less likely to go do that thing, even if it will actually have the impact that we want. Now, a lot of distraction and avoidance has to do with our brains anticipate what we expect it will be like if we choose a decision or take an action. So how do our brains create beliefs? Here's the simple, sweet, short version. Pattern matching. Association. Our brains try to link A and B. Here are a few that schools teach us and our kids. Things like achieve and you'll get praise. study and get good grades. Do what you're told and you'll succeed. We connect things that happen to us, like taking a little step and getting a smile, celebration, and praise. And when it happens, our brains latch onto it and repeat. That's how my wife and I encouraged our daughter to learn to walk, talk, and use the potty. It's how my parents guided me when I was a baby. And in a way, there's almost a scientific component to it. Do something, see what happens, try again, and see if it happens again. Experience, observation, repetition, and reinforcement. Here's a quick example. A toddler picks up a spherical object and drops it. What happens next? Probably it bounces away. At first, they're intensely curious and excited. What a marvel. Look at what this thing did. They might even chase after it and do it again and again, until the pattern solidifies, until it feels complete. Like 1 + 2 = 3 feels complete. And it drives us forward. Coming back to the example, imagine now it's in the middle of December and that same toddler watches as their parents bring down a box from the attic. They hurry over and find a bunch of shiny spherical objects. And their brain says, "Ooh, shiny," immediately followed by, "I know what these do." So the toddler, really excited at this new shiny version of something they already know about, chucks one. And they're thinking, 1 + 2 = 3. Only, it doesn't bounce. And the parents run over in alarm about it. The kid is completely confused. First, the spherical object didn't act like the other ones. Second, the parents didn't act like they normally do. It's like finding out that 1 + 2 = 12. Of course, they didn't realize it's a Christmas ornament. Not at the time. The important but particular difference between rubber and glass that makes one bounce and the other shatter. Now, kids can have all kinds of reactions, intense curiosity, pure terror, total meltdown. It's all learning for them. Yes, they're both round. That's the number one. But they believed both were made of the same bouncy material. It was an assumption, an expectation. And to be fair, they didn't know any better at the time. So in that case, it's not really a 2, it's 11. 1 + 2 = 3. Round plus rubber equals bounce. 1 + 11 = 12. Round plus glass equals break. But it doesn't stop in childhood or in learning things that we all take for granted as adults, like walking, talking, and doing math. In fact, you can see the same process play out for all kinds of people, especially when the unexpected happens for them. Intense curiosity, pure terror, total meltdown. It happens in adults too. It's as true for the actions that create performance, the sleep habits, wake-up rituals, eating, focus, and business. Remember that example from school? Achievement gets praise. Study gets good grades. Doing what you're told will create success. These are all lessons taught, beliefs installed into students. Even after school, many students take those lessons like the toddler did with bouncy balls, even though the world is a bigger place and it's not always applicable, especially when you're going into uncharted territory. Sometimes you don't need to do what you're told in order to succeed. Sometimes you need to do your own thing or figure it out on your own. It can explain why it's hard to go from high school to college or college to the workforce, from a job to entrepreneurship, or from startup founder to CEO of a large corporation. Every time we step into a bigger role, a wider world, a new level, what we used to know works, but not exactly like it used to, and not all the time. One of the biggest challenges and greatest triumphs of people who quickly succeed and keep moving up is how fast they can change their beliefs. Not all of them per se. We still need to walk and talk, among other things. but not always the same way or to the same people or places that we used to. So one part is identifying which beliefs, expectations, and assumptions about yourself, your actions, and the world fit in, and which ones need some tweaking to really step up and level up. Otherwise, it's easy to feel like the kid who keeps throwing a ball only to find a pile of ruins instead of having a lot more fun. One of the clues that can help you see it is when you notice you're having more agitation, like more frustration, more doubt, more fear. Whether it's inward or outward, it might be a sign that the old beliefs need some adjusting. Hey everyone, digging the insights? Here's what you can do to spread them to more people. Leave a rating for the podcast right now. It's a tiny act and takes only a couple of seconds, but it's a huge help in sharing the best insights with more people, which means the world to me, because all I want to do is help more people overcome challenges faster, unlock their potential, and feel more fulfilled in work, relationships, and life. It could make all the difference to the next person who finds the podcast. And there's one more wrinkle in the process. We get triggered. What's a trigger? A trigger is something in the present that is similar enough to your past that your brain uses an old belief, even though it's not applicable here and now. Expectations that come from past experiences, applying here and now because something looks and feels familiar or similar, even though it's not really the same. In other words, a trigger is when a lesson from your past takes over in the present. So, how do you update your brain? In a way, it's like a software update, fixing buggy code so it runs smoothly with all the new features you have in your life today or want to create for tomorrow. And here's my favorite way to think about it and how to shift it. Number one, it helps to be as clear as you can to identify the beliefs you hold. A lot of beliefs show up as I have to, I can't, I must, or I shouldn't. Sometimes it looks like the world is supposed to, or the world should or shouldn't. And those can be especially hard to shift or break because they are rooted in absolutes. Remember, beliefs are like math equations. They're all about input and outcome. Sometimes we don't even have words for it, just big reactions or avoidance to let us know that a belief is at play. Second, it helps to frame them as if-then thoughts. So instead of, I have to go to bed and wake up early, you can break it down to, if I go to sleep early, I have a better chance of getting a good night's rest. And then when I'm able to wake up early and I feel well rested, I get to have time to stretch, take a walk, work out, and prepare myself for the day. And then the opposite. If I don't go to sleep early, then I may not get the sleep I need to be sharp and focused. I may not move and take care of my body or set myself up to have as productive a day. Third, it helps to put the belief in context. Whether you figure out how you learned it and why it made sense then, or look at how it does, or more likely doesn't, serve you in the present. Being completely honest with yourself about it helps you see what needs changing, and that context is really important and relevant. It helps you update your thinking of what beliefs, what assumptions or expectations, what math equations of input and output are really going to get you to the life that you want, to the results that you want, to the success that you want, to the level that you want. And fourth, and it really follows that last piece, is build a new belief. Now, there are lots of ways and approaches that you can take to build a new belief, like writing it or saying out loud again and again, by learning from other people and borrowing their beliefs, or by building your own step by step with evidence. Sometimes it takes intention to change the way you're thinking by playing down certain thoughts and emphasizing others. It's not always a one-and-done process, depending on how strong the belief is and how you approach the process of change. Here are a few high-performance beliefs that I've seen really matter and make a difference for myself and in my clients. Number one, taking care of my body and brain is the single most important thing I can do. And let me tell you, this one includes all kinds of consumption, from food to sleep to what you listen to and watch, because everything that goes in has an effect on your body and your brain. Number two, if I'm not dedicated and in it for the long haul, it's probably worth figuring out how to do less of it. This is especially relevant for values, decisions that put you on a particular path, and working towards the things you're best suited for in the long term. It's also relevant for learning to scale and become more of a leader and less of a personal individual contributor. Number three, figuring out the few things that matter most and cutting out the rest is how to get further faster. And this is really about strategy. It's kind of like the 80-20 for performance in business, relationships, and life. Sometimes I've heard it put a little bit differently, which is that optimizing your life and optimizing performance is more about the things you don't do than it is about the things that you do. Number four, being adaptive is an advantage because circumstances change and I change. Knowing how to roll with the punches is a powerful skill, and being able to see changes coming in the future and being prepared for them is really, really potent. It gives you a massive competitive edge. Number five, low stakes, fast decisions, high stakes, slow decisions. Faster decisions can make for faster learning, and slower decisions can protect the risk. And when looking at the highest levels of performance, there are a lot of decisions that are made at lightning speed. They're made in advance, or they've been made before, oftentimes way in advance. They've been tinkered with and worked on and then made and then just implemented really quickly, fast, often because they learned from lots of previous decisions. But when it comes to high stakes, that's when it's really important to slow down and look at the variables, really evaluate the risk, and be intentional about making those steps to move forward using all of the learning that often comes from past decisions, fast and slow alike. And here's a little bonus. The people around us have a profound impact on the beliefs we hold. Everyone from family to friends to our partners and community. It's true for the past, present, and future. The way my friends responded to my hobbies, my clothes, and my interests in the past had a big impact on what shaped my experiences, especially when I was younger, as a middle schooler, high schooler, you know, teenage years. It often has a really massive role, especially from like the 7-ish years old through teenage years. In some ways for the better, because when I didn't like what happened, I worked harder to understand and make change. It's some of those moments when I was a socially awkward nerd that pushed me to become better, especially in terms of learning how to start conversation, hold a conversation, listen, and really create connection. In the present, how my family, friends, and wife talk and listen has an ongoing effect on me. It's true whether I'm sharing my challenges, my excitement, or asking for help. They all have a very real impact on my beliefs and on my behavior. Now, I'm much more intentional and careful with the people I spend time with and choose to be around. And especially when I'm thinking about who do I want to be around in the future, because they will continue to influence my beliefs. Beliefs are the foundation of how we act, and the outcomes we achieve often follow that thought process and decision-making. They influence everything from our performance in our personal and professional lives to our relationships and parenting. Deeply understanding and updating our beliefs allows us to tackle new challenges and elevate our success in all areas of work and life. So take a moment now to reflect on some of your own beliefs. Think about how they shape your actions and influence your outcomes. Empower yourself by embracing the lessons we talked about today. Remember, understanding and updating your beliefs isn't just about adapting, it's about optimizing your path to success. And on that note, I'll see you next week. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast is produced by Dr. Yishai and PodTech. Music by www.purple-planet.com. Dr. Yishai is a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with the guest or listener. The information contained in this publication is for general informational purposes only and shall not be relied on or construed as coaching advice or therapy. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thanks again for listening. I hope today's episode fulfilled my mission to help you leverage psychology better in your business and life.